So our text, which I will be reading to you, is John chapter 20, verses 30 and 31. If you follow in the Pew Bibles with me, it's on page 951. I will be reading it out of the NRSV. Your Pew Bible is the RSV, so it will sound very similar, but I like the way this week that the verbs are put together. And so I'm going to use this one for you. Here it's slightly different, I suppose. Listen and hear God's word from just this short passage from the end of John 20, starting in verse 30. Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may continue to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing, you may have life in his name. The word of the Lord. Let us pray together. Loving God, we are grateful to be together on this morning. Grateful for the beauty of the spring which sits before us and outside of these windows. As we stop and consider this passage from the gospel, we ask you to speak to our hearts and to our minds in Jesus' name. Amen. There's an old saying about best laid plans of mice and men, right? Well, I'm looking for something, which I put in the Bible, because then I would say, you know what, Derek, you won't actually lose that. And then I lost it. That's how it goes. So how do you form new beliefs? It's the question that these two verses ask. How do we move from one set of beliefs or one set of understanding, choose to leave that behind, and then create a whole new set of cherished beliefs that we uphold that are just as valuable as what we left behind? How do we form new beliefs? We cannot simply stop believing in everything, enter a void-like period where all belief is fully suspended and then believe something totally new in the blink of an eye. I know some people think that that can happen, but I struggle to conceive of it in my mind, to totally believe in nothing. Because even in the act of saying, I believe in nothing, I am in fact believing in nothing. Can't suspend it all, even if we try. Life is full of moments, and those moments help us create and choose what we believe in and how we organize it. I have, again, not found anyone, regardless if they believe in the Almighty or not, who can say they don't hold on to some root belief that helps them define their lives and or provides purpose and meaning for them. Those beliefs create our mission and support it. They're based on the revelation of God in our lives. Otherwise, if we don't believe in God, we just risk drifting willy-nilly from belief to belief. Something grounds all of that, forming a new belief. For instance, I know it's rather silly, but I believed it. Spoiler. I once believed that it was too challenging to change planes in an airport when I went someplace. Having never done it before, and hearing stories from both of my parents who traveled a lot to busy airports like Atlanta and Chicago, I was, and you can ask Jennifer, very hesitant to ever consider changing deplaning when we went anywhere. Wasn't going to do it. But then, you know where I'm going probably, we went to Nepal. And I had to change planes in Chicago. In less than an hour, I had to go from one terminal on one side, make my way through with my family, ride a bus, get to the other terminal, and get where I had to go. It was terrifying. And I spent the entire flight from Pittsburgh to Chicago sort of mentally going over how this is going to look. And for those who have not been to O'Hare, it's a very busy airport. And it was a stressful act, but I did it. We did it as a family, even though some of us were more nervous than others. I was almost as anxious standing outside of the Kathmandu International Airport at 5 a.m. looking at the very intimidating master lock that literally locked the airport shut, thinking I have to get in here get checked in, get through customs, get to the plane, get through Turkey, get through Chicago, get back through customs, get back to Pittsburgh and find my car. But again, we did it. And now if we go anywhere, I would say, I can change planes. I've done it before. I can do it again. I believed one thing. Deplaning is too hard for me. I now believe something different. And it's in there deeply. There are all sorts of moments like this and all sorts of places like this in our lives. It's even in the lives of the disciples as they're dealing with the resurrected Christ in John chapter 20. Following Jesus' arrest and the disciples' choices, they face a moment of challenge for themselves. Much more serious, I should say, than shall I deplane or not. Their beliefs were challenged. They believed one thing. Their personal experiences for 3.5 years said one thing. It was supported by that belief. Then they knew him to be the Son of God, the Messiah, sent to earth. It was deep. It was personal. It was intimate. But as we know, a couple weeks ago, all of that changed in their minds. They doubted. They wondered. They denied. They ran away. They betrayed Jesus in thought, word, and in deed, using language our prayers of confession also did. In each of their own ways, that which was cherished became less cherished. Yet this gospel writer, knowing that they have struggled to uphold their beliefs, John tells them, continue believing in the revelation that you've got. Herein we find a 21st century example, application for the ending of John's gospel that is necessary for you and I. For who among us has not been with someone whose beliefs have either been shaken or directly questioned, say, in the last year? Who have we met who might think like Thomas, the previous story in John 20, or acted like Peter over and over again? The disciples, the example of the disciples is helpful for us when we interact with someone who might just say, I doubt it, or perhaps I don't believe it. It is a hard challenge to be certain, but one that we are called through just these couple of verses to accept and to adopt in our lives. For beliefs and how we form and support them directly relate to our choices of actions after we create them. For our actions demonstrate, often without words, what we believe in. Notice the definition of family the young people gave us. They didn't have to live it out. They know it. It's deep in there. Advertisers know this stuff, don't they? And they attempt to manipulate your emotions so they can manipulate your beliefs. Polling companies seek access to our beliefs. So why? They can pass that on to political candidates and they can shape their message. There are plenty of examples everywhere in our community of how our beliefs shape our actions. Way more than I have time to talk with you about today. Again, we see this in the example of the disciples in John's gospel. Thomas, in the previous story, has doubted all he wanted. His beliefs have been called into question. But when he stood before Jesus, an action was necessary, and that's where the rub for Thomas comes in. Even putting his hands in his symbolic pockets in this moment is a choice. It was an action. He either has to speak about what he believes or put your hand in my wounds, Thomas. Do something. Beliefs do not exist in a vacuum. An action is called out because of them. Peter may have proclaimed that Jesus was the Messiah loudly in public. But when Christ was arrested, his ardent belief was tested by the people of his community who associated him with Jesus. His public work and ministry. In both cases, these disciples found themselves having to act, and they acted based on what they believed. It works that way. The same principle holds true for you and I as well. One way or another, following the miracle of Easter, our beliefs are challenged by our choice to act and share, or by our choice not to act and not to share the message of the empty tomb. We cannot remain stagnant or actionless. If we believe in the miracle of Jesus that is happening at the empty tomb, a response is called for. If those beliefs are down deep in there, something has to happen because of them. This week, as I was in a conference that I went virtually to, I watched the TED Talk of Phil Hansen. I learned his story. It's a short talk, Phil Hansen, only about 10 minutes if you want to hear it for yourself. But Phil's story demonstrates this line of thinking as well. He believed one thing. He elevated one thing. But when his beliefs were called into question, he was challenged by it. His actions had to change to continue to support where he was going. Here's his story for you in a nutshell. Phil was an artist who was obsessed, hence the piece of paper I have, with pointillism. Notice the points? With pointillism. It's a technique where hundreds of small dots are just applied to a canvas or other medium to create a shape or an image. Just dot, 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 dot. It looks like that little flower, which I think is right side up like this, but with his name there, it might be like that. I don't know. Pointillism. Phil loved this type of artwork. And he said, I wanted to spend my entire career doing that. But the more he dotted to create his images and portraits, the more his hands began to shake. The thing that he loved was literally crushing his body, tearing his nerves apart. Phil tried, as you might, and I might, just hold the pencil tighter, squeeze harder in an attempt to stop the shaking. But the harder he held onto his pencil to make his dots, the more his hands shook when he was done. He believed and lived in one way, but that way was crushing his body physically. Pointillism was changing the way he lived and the way he would move forward. That which he elevated and saw as important was being called into question, had to change. So he stopped drawing. He believed that art was no longer reachable for him, fell into a deep depression. The skill that God had given him, the thing that he took value from, was no longer accessible to Phil, or at least so he thought. Phil spoke with doctors, many doctors. He met with therapists, but none of them could keep his hand from shaking violently. Until one day, a physical therapist invited him to just embrace the shake, which is the title of his TED Talk. He began to wonder, since I cannot make art in the way I once believed, what would happen if I tried something different? What if I took that which I thought was a limitation and I embraced it and it allowed me to change what I believed and therefore it changed my actions? He adapted. It's a basic adaptation story. He painted with his feet. He painted one painting you can see on his talk by karate chopping the canvas. Paint on the back of him, just doing this over and over again. He drew a picture by listening to people tell him their stories, and he copied those stories on a spinning board and created a new image just out of words. He believed that only one thing was possible, but when life presented a challenge to his belief, his actions required him to think differently and form a new belief structure. That same level of change is happening in the church as COVID restrictions lessen and as vaccinations become more accessible, and we begin as the body to look at what ministry is becoming in 2021 following the resurrection of Jesus. A challenge is being presented to us. Will you continue to believe? Some might think that these verses from John's gospel are just a cap, a quick tie-up and move on to the rest of his passage, or his gospel, I should say. But I think they are of absolute essential importance and necessary for us. For in these just two short verses, we are challenged as the body, as the church, to consider not only how do we form our beliefs, how did we come to believe that he is the Messiah, but how do we live and move forward when the world in which we are placed in is challenging that? How will we act? We will still be called to do something, to minister, to love, to serve, to relate those beliefs into actions that people can see? But will you trust, like Phil had to do, and move forward because God is with you in the process? Will you believe that God is continuing to call you to adapt, to take what you believe and put it into action? And when it is challenged, take it to God and continue the process of belief. Not knowing where it's going to go, but believing that it's going to go someplace with God. Will you believe? And how do you form that? Let us pray together. Loving God, we are grateful to be together as your people. We are grateful to spend time with you this morning in worship, considering your word. And as we continue in our worship time, as we affirm our beliefs, as we sing our hymns, as we offer our prayers and stories to you, continue to call us into action. Continue to move us forward. Continue to show us places to adapt and people to encounter. And as you do so, we will continue to rely on you. It's in Jesus' name we ask this together. Amen. In response to the word of the Lord, will you stand as you are able, as we confess in one voice using the Apostles' Creed that which we've come to believe? Will you stand? And let us confess our faith. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He ascended into heaven. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. At this time, will the offering please be brought forward as we continue in our worship together? Let us pray. Gracious God, we give you thanks and praise for this day and for these gifts brought to you in response to your good work in each of our lives, in response to your encounters with us. We bring you these, trusting you to use them for your glory. It's in Jesus' name we dedicate these to you. Amen. And as we continue in our worship time together and prepare, as we do each week, to participate in the ministry of prayer and intercession as this church, where have you seen God at work? Bert. And it didn't take a rocket science to figure that out.
Mm-hmm. Triple A also. And there's people that are trying to help. He wasn't dead, he was trying to get up. Mm-hmm. The police would just get to him. And that's where I was going. I was going to the police station. I wasn't actually going to help him physically. I was going to the police station. But if he would have flown off that guardrail, mm-hmm. with some real heavy brush, and there's a creek down there, and if you roll down that hill and end up in that creek, all they're going to find is bones 8 months from now.
Yeah. Yeah, it would have been bad. It would have been bad. Yeah. Sure.
And, you know, so it just, I don't know, it kind of changed my life a little bit. You know, I didn't touch this fellow. It just kind of changed my life a little bit.
Yeah, but you were aware of him, and that's okay. We appreciate you sharing that story, the what are you going to do about it moment, finding a gentleman who needed attention, needed care, and we're glad you went back to see about helping him, and I wonder how he's doing today with God. We will. Where have you seen God at work? Oh, sorry.
That's okay.
My bifocals, you are moving. That's not allowed in this church, but you're moving around on us over there, and my bifocals weren't seeing you, so I'm sorry. So go ahead. What's that?
Still her.
Still her, yeah, it's still you. So that's okay. Yeah, and that's needed in those times, isn't it? We are glad to hear that they did find, you said...
His name is Eric.
Eric.
Yes, his name is Eric.
They found Eric's body. He had fallen off a bridge in the Chesapeake Bay, and they found him out in Hatteras.
150 miles away.
Wow. I'm really glad they found him. The closure is so important in these times. It really is. You're right. Thanks for sharing with us this morning. We will keep them in our prayers.
Thank you.
Where have you seen God at work, Tiffany? Yeah, I couldn't agree more, Tiffany. We do need that. I agree with you on that. It has been a very beautiful spring. Thanks for reminding us about it. I think we sometimes tend to rush too quickly through that and don't notice how gorgeous it is right now. It's beautiful. Thanks for sharing with us this morning. Where have you seen God at work? Thank you for sharing this morning with us as part of our worship time. Do you have additional joys and concerns to share? How can we be the church in prayer with you? Amy.
I just want to have a shout out to the Carters. Hope they're all doing well. And we really miss Kathy. I can't sing without her. I need that lead.
You need that lead. Well, Amy, we will share that right now with those on Facebook and on Zoom. I know the Carters are on Zoom. We hope that you are doing well at home. And as Amy said, we need Kathy. I can't sing without her, so... And it's Ron's birthday, that's right. So happy birthday, Ron, as you are at home watching the worship service with us. Do you have additional joys and concerns to share? Tiffany? We will pray for Lisa as test results are preparing to come in. We will pray for wisdom and understanding as they move forward. Thank you. Are there other joys? Amy again.
I forgot.
Remembered the Carters, forgot a relative. That's okay. Nothing wrong with that.
My cousin's granddaughter fell. She was climbing over a gate in the house because my cousin puts gates up so they won't go to certain areas. And she had a little purse on because she was going to go to Target with her mom.
Mm-hmm. Her first name?
Josie.
Josie. We will pray for little five-year-old Josie as she fell over, I guess, a baby gate and broke her arm or did some damage to her arm and now has got to wear a cast for the next 28 days. We will lift her up to God. Thank you. Do you have other joys and concerns, church family? Joanne. We're glad to hear the update from Beverly Watson. She's doing better. Was outside putting lotion, you said, on her arms and doing better and better. And a tremendous answer to prayer in her life. Do you have other joys and concerns, church family? Then let us be the church. Loving God, we are grateful to gather together this morning. As Tiffany reminds us, gathering on such a beautiful spring day. A beautiful spring day that we need as we have been through a lot through the midst of this pandemic and continue to be dealing with a lot. We are grateful to be together today in worship. We are grateful to welcome friends and family virtually into our sanctuary today in worship. It is because of you with us that we bring our joys and our concerns to you. We think of Eric's friends and family who are able to receive or to get closure following his passing. And we are glad to know that they can continue their grieving and get that necessary closure with you. Lord, be with them. Lord, watch over them. Comfort and sustain their families. We think of that gentleman that Bert spoke about, laying in the street, not doing well, it seemed like, not sure exactly what was going on, but we lift him to you. Knowing you are active and present in his life. We thank you for Ron as he celebrates his birthday today and the leadership that he provides with the church, the assistance he gives us virtually manning our services and leading at the session. We pray for their family, for the Carter family, that as they are separated from us for a little while, that you keep them safe and healthy and strong and aware of how you are at work in their lives. We pray for Lisa, who has some test results, Tiffany reminds us, coming in soon. We pray for good news in those results, for wisdom and understanding with them as they move forward to care for her. We pray for little Josie, who is 5, having broken or dislocated her arm and has been down at Children's Hospital after falling over a baby gate. Lord, heal and mend those bones quickly. Heal and sustain her fast. Be with her family as they are the hands and feet of God, loving this young lady. We are glad to hear the update that Joanne shared with us today from Bev Watson as she continues to do better and better as part of her physical therapy, going outside to put lotion on her arms, just moving around, being more active. And she and her family notice and can sense you at work there. For all of these, we give you thanks. We trust you to care for them on this beautiful spring day, a day that we need. And as we continue to worship you this morning, Almighty God, be with us and hear us as in one voice. We offer you the first prayer, which you've taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.